Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Na garhayanti yarteshu yavishthangri abhivadanam chandobhyon yatrana brahman jayo jayishthasya karanam Nagarhayanti Yarteshu Yavishtangrabhivadhanam Chandobhyon Yatra Nabrahman Nabram Vayo Vaishthasya Karanam Nagarhayanti Yarteshu Yavishtangrabhivadanam Chandobhyo natra na brahma Vayo jaishtasya karanam Na, not. Garahayanti, forbid. He, indeed. Arteshu, in acquiring interests. Yavishta, angri, at the lotus feet of a junior. Abhivadanam, offering obeisances. Chandobhya, the Vedic mantras, anyatra, apart from, na, not, brahman, o brahmana, vaya, age, jaishtasya, of seniority, karanam, the cause. Text 31. Dear son, we have been defeated by your enemies, and therefore we are very much aggrieved. Please mercifully fulfill our desires by relieving our distress through the strength of your austerities. Please fulfill our prayers. Text 32. Since you are completely aware of the Supreme Brahman, you are a perfect Brahmana, and therefore you are the spiritual master of all orders of life. We accept you as our spiritual master and director, so that by the power of your austerity, we may easily defeat the enemies who have conquered us. Purport. One must approach a particular type of guru to execute a particular type of duty. Therefore, although Vishwarupa was inferior to the demigods accepted him as a guru to conquer the demons. Text 33. The demigods continued, do not fear criticism for being younger than us. Such etiquette does not apply in regard to Vedic mantras. Except in relationship to Vedic mantras, seniority is determined by age. But one may offer respectful obeisances even to a younger person who is advanced in chanting Vedic mantras. Therefore, although you are senior in relation to us, you may become our priest without hesitation. Purport. It is said, Vridatvam vayasa vina. One may be senior without being advanced in age. Even if one is not old, one gains seniority if he is senior in knowledge. Vishwarupa is junior in relationship to the demigods because he was their nephew, but the demigods wanted to accept him as their priest, and therefore he would have to accept obeisances from them. The demigods explained that this should not be a cause for hesitation. He could become their priest because he was advanced in Vedic knowledge. Similarly, Chanakya advises, Nichad ap yuttamam jnanam. One may accept education from a member of a lower social order. The brahmanas, the members of the most elevated varna, are teachers, but a person in a lower family, such as a family of kshatriyas, vaishyas, or even shudras, may be accepted as a teacher if he has knowledge. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approved of this when he expressed his opinion before Ramananda Rai, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 8:28. Kiva vipra, kiva nyasi, shudra kene nai, jay krishna tattva veta, se guru hoi. It does not matter whether one is a brahmana, shudra, grihastha, or sannyasi. These are all material designations. A spiritually advanced person has nothing to do with such designations. Therefore, if one is advanced in the science of Krishna consciousness, regardless of his position in human society, he may become a spiritual master. So here in the sixth canto, then we're having to clear major areas of doubt or misgivings. It means up to now we've been dealing, but especially we have to do it because we're going to be introducing the activities of the pure devotees from the seventh canto, which with Prahlad Maharaj. So just as before, the idea that morality was the cause of bhakti, or the cause of ultimate elevation had to be removed with the story of Ajamil, that it's about bhakti, devotion to the Lord. Here then also the position of one with knowledge, right? Because knowledge is the topmost aspect within the Vedic culture, since the Vedic culture is about how to become knowledgeable about who we are, what is the material world, who's the Lord in our relationship. So that means knowledge is the highest. Now, of knowledge, now devotional knowledge is the highest, right? Then naturally, knowledge of Brahman, and then just the proper knowledge of a subject matter, right? So someone who has knowledge in an area that you don't, then they can teach you, right? But accordingly, it will be in that area, right? That's always important to know, is that in that area, then they have that position. So it goes both ways. One is that I will respect them in that position because they know more than me. And at the same time, is that area that they know, that's where they will be respected as superior. Does that make sense? In another area that they don't, then it may be junior. Does that make sense? When you're dealing with the material knowledge. When you're dealing with bhakti, then that's always a superior position. Though you may not necessarily ask them about certain practical affairs if they don't know. Does that make sense? Yes? No? Okay. So these are important considerations because we see that Indra, then because of his facility, his opulence, and his position, then the common thought is, therefore I'm superior in everything. You find it's a very, very common mistake that people made. If I'm superior in one area, then I make the mistake that I'm superior in all areas. Right? Does that make sense? So you see, parents can do this, managers can do this, administrators can do this, even somebody with a particular kind of knowledge. Then they have a tendency to think, I'm superior in this, I'm superior in everything. So then they can't apply this teaching that's being given here in the Bhagavatam, and one ends up like Indra, making a mistake and not actually properly respecting others. So the point is if you respect the seniors, everything will flourish. Right? You don't respect seniors, it doesn't work. You can't say, no, but what about this and what about that, and unless the seniors are perfect, it's not going to work. That's not what it's saying here. There's a principle at work. Right? The principle is you respect seniors. You apply the principle, it works. Now, if you apply principles on seniors who are more respectable, you get greater result. Right? Not that, oh, you don't get any result until everybody's perfect. Because if that's the case, then the individual shouldn't get any result until they're perfect either. Right? We always notice it's generally, when we deal in these areas, especially culture, it's always a one-way street. Right? And in fact, there's probably down at the end of the street those funny little things that pop up with the things that rip your tires to shreds. You know, just to make sure nothing comes back that way. Right? So, the whole point is that Indra is making this mistake and he's defeated. Right? And then the demons, what's given in contrast is the demons who by nature tend to disrespect everybody because of the same problem that Indra has, right? Because he's being proud and puffed up by his position and opulence. Now, they figure out that they need to respect Sukracharya, right? So, now Sukracharya is materialistic, they're materialistic, but because the principle of respect is being applied, they are successful. So there's no question of not being respectful and getting any material results. It just doesn't happen. Right? So if devotees are interested in material development, you have to be respectful. So this thing is where we're going to make everybody equal and at the same time we're going to be prosperous is never going to happen. It can't happen. It's an illusion that such a thing can happen. It's due to respect that it happens. If that respect is there, things work. As soon as the respect is gone, at that point it starts to fall apart. It's that simple. We may like, we may not like. You know, our background, we're being, you know, we're trained to be cynical of authority. And we think that this is good. But the point is how prosperous is it? Right? Does that make sense? How prosperous is it? It's not that prosperous. So, therefore, when these things are done in this way, it works. So that means you have to be able to respect anybody, right? As being given before. That anybody, it means what you mentioned about that the, let's see, which was this? Okay, yeah, what is it? The Acharya, the spiritual master who teaches all the Vedic knowledge and gives initiation by offering the sacred thread, is the personification of all the Vedas. Similarly, a father personifies Lord Brahma, a brother, King Indra, a mother, the planet Earth, and a sister, Mercy. A guest personifies religious principles. An invited guest personifies the demigod Agni. And all living entities personify Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when we say we treat everyone equal, it means we treat everyone with respect. Now, we have the intelligence to make a distinction of what kind of area of respect everybody's getting. Right? We have to be careful that this concept of equality the Vedic is equality, bring everybody up. The modern is bring everybody down. You have to be very clear on that. That is exactly what's happening. It's not about making everybody respectful. It's about making everybody not respectful. Right? Otherwise, why is there such lack of prosperity in the modern system? It's really hit or miss. You don't know what it's going to be. Is today going to be okay? Is it going to be a recession? Things are going to go up, down? There's no stability because there's no respect. Simple. One may say, no, there's so many factors. No, those are the mechanics. The principle is if there's no respect, the mechanics are going to work against you. And if you just see the mechanics, you'll try to make this arrangement, that arrangement, but that's what it says. That's the demoniac mentality, is simply looking at the externals, the secondary features, how to make adjustments so that everything works out nice for me, which it never does. That's what the materialistic person does. They spend their whole life trying to make adjustments to the secondary and missing the point of the primary. So these things have to be cleared for us to be able to appreciate Prahlad Maharaj. Right? Because Prahlad Maharaj's position is that of pure devotion. Right? All these others with mixed devotional service, you see, the demigods, they're devotees. They're all devotees. But they're mixed. So we see here, Indra, though he's a devotee, he becomes proud. And because of that, he loses the position. He can't say, well, we're a devotee, we can do whatever we want. No, we're a devotee, we're supposed to do whatever Krishna wants. Does that make sense? So one has to be very, very careful in this position. So now they're pointing out, because of all of the positions of knowledge, influence, wealth, and age or skill, technical skill, that knowledge is the highest. Right? That's the position. Someone who has knowledge is in a senior position. It's the Vedic culture, it's about that. The Brahmins are always in a senior position to everybody else. So that's the top of society. Brahminical is the top of society, not management. That's how everybody else in the world thinks. Non-Vedic, it's always management is the top. It's a disease. Right? Parasaram came specifically as the doctor for this disease. Right? It's just the way it is. It's automatic. If you don't accept the Vedic principle, you will take administration as the top. Because even if you have a university, who sits at the top of the university? Who tells everyone what to do? An administrator. You have a hospital, all the doctors are there. Who tells them what to do? An administrator. Does that make sense? That's how the modern works. That's why it's not very prosperous. It doesn't understand that knowledge is the top. You see vestiges of it in systems that work. They have, you know, some kind of whoever's the leader has a council, has advisors on that, and by taking that, it's there. But when it comes to administration, of course, the head of state is the superior. But when it comes to the position of their relationship with him, they're superior to him. How much that's accepted, that's how well the system will work. Right? And please, nobody try to use that. Well, we're devotees, it doesn't matter. That is so hackneyed and so old. Right? We're always want to be up to date. That is so 1970-ish. You know? So kind of like, become up to date, you know? Up to date means, no. Is, I'm a devotee, therefore I've been doing this for so long, I have the intelligence that I can discriminate. Because if I can't discriminate, that means no brains. How do you take no brains as the top of the system? The ability to be able to tell the difference between one thing and another. Can I tell the difference? If I can't tell that that's a camera and that's a mridanga, will I say I'm intelligent? Am I that camera? No. Am I that mridanga? No. So I can't say, I'm not this camera, therefore I can play the camera like a drum and use the drum like a camera. That's just downright foolishness. Right? Does that make sense? That's called illusion. I'm not the body means, I'm a devotee, I'm not the body means, I see everything from the transcendental position, that it's all to be engaged in Krishna's service, but I can tell the difference in the variety of Krishna's energies and how they can be engaged. That's called intelligent. And if you're not at that point, you're less intelligent, I'm sorry to say. Otherwise, you'll end up like Indra. I'm in charge, therefore I have an opinion about everything and my opinion's the last opinion. No. My decision making in the way of management is the last point. But as far as what is knowledge, that's according to who has it. See, that's the thing. That's the Vedic has that ability. They're not insecure. I can be taking advice from somebody and still be in the position of authority. I can still get something done. Right? Because the decision of the king, he's the final when it comes to administration, but he's not the final when it comes to knowledge. The Brahmins are. So he, taking the advice of the Brahmins, then applies that. And then that makes him the head of administration. Or the head of management, or the head of whatever it is that you're doing. Does that make sense? So that's the principle. We have to be able to understand this. Otherwise, one cannot develop as a community. Right? Because if you can't discriminate, there's no way that you can do it. If you can't tell the difference between a butter knife and a grater, you ever try to put butter on a piece of toast with a grater? I mean, you could look at it, well, hey, I can do the whole bread in once, you know, time, you know, it's really good, you know, put the butter along the bottom, just like it's got the great handle, you know, you just kind of pull it across, you know. You could. You understand? But the point is Krishna has designed things in this world for a specific purpose. It's Krishna who's made them, not us. We think, as I've made them, I can use them however I like. No, Krishna's made them. We have to use them how he says. Therefore, there is an order. You have to respect knowledge, administration, money, skill. We always have to remember, this is the order. Skill is on the bottom. Knowledge is on the top. Influence is then below that, then wealth. There is an order. As soon as you try to go, well, I got the money, so I'm in charge, then everything falls apart. Or I'm administrative authority, I don't have to listen to anybody, it falls apart. Or if it's about skills, that's the only thing, so knowledge is theoretical and, you know, all these, if you have the skill, then that's what's going to make it happen. Then that's wrong. And if you look at it, these are the statements of modern society. Right? Education is all about getting skills, which means shudra. Right? They can't teach you how to administrate or to make money. There is no school that does that. You can associate with people who make money and administrators and learn it. But academically, you can't learn these things. It's not possible. You can learn a skill. Does that make sense? So that's why the Vedic didn't focus on the skill, it focused on the character, on the knowledge, which is the highest. Because that's the commonality of the whole culture. Everybody has the same experience in knowledge and lifestyle. Then you have a culture, because everybody's different. Somebody is knowledge, somebody is administration, somebody is money, somebody is skill. Then it works. But the common point is the knowledge of the relationship with the Supreme Lord. Okay. So now, within this, the way of knowledge, then if there's a need, one can take that knowledge from anywhere. Right? Even if they're in a lower position, because it's like that. Let's say you want to learn some music. Okay? Now, it's generally a tendency is most people who are involved in music are shudras, they're artists. Right? But you don't know music, even though you're in a higher position, still, when it comes to music, they're the guru. They say how it works. Now, you don't ask them things outside that. You know, you don't ask them how to administrate or how to make money. You understand? But when it comes to the music, they're the guru. So that's why Prabhupada says, you pick a guru according to your need. One must approach a particular type of guru to execute a particular type of duty. So that's how it works. It's not this Hollywood style, it's all or nothing. Oh, if he's my guru in music, he's a guru in everything. Or I'm the manager and I'm good at management, so I'm good at everything. Right? Or I make money, that makes me good at everything. Yes. Mike, hear this little mic here. Mike.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. It's a question on how to apply what
yes,
you said.
Yes, good, good.
She say somebody, a devotee in ISKCON, he humbly recognizes that, okay, I'm an administrator or a moneymaker or something else. And I want to follow the brahmanas.
Right.
And then we find that different brahmanas have different different opinions.
Right.
So so how do I decide which brahmanas to listen?
Yes, yes, very good point. So that's then what we bring out. We see that everybody brings about it. Chanakya talks about it. Rupa Goswami talks about it. Manu will talk about it. Is that you find Brahmins of similar nature, right? In other words, you have to have, let's say you're taking, just for an example, an administrator. You have to have Brahmins who can give their knowledge within the context of its application within administration, right? There may be so many Brahmins who are great. Let's say that administrator wants to learn something of bhakti, he'll go to someone who can give him some advice there. But if he needs some advice within his service, of administration, he has to take advice from those who understand the science of administration and who can say it in a way that works for him, because he's the one that has to apply it, because they're only going to advise. They're not in control. That's the thing about the Vedic, is that everything has this balance. The Brahmins are the highest, but they're not in control. The Kshatriyas are junior to the Brahmins, but they're in control. Right? The Vaishyas make all the money, everything works on the money, but Kshatriyas are in charge of them. Right? Vaishyas make everything happen because of the Shudras, but they're senior, but then the Shudras are the one that it gets done by. So there's always, the Vedic means there's a balance. The modern tends to be that there's no balance. It takes one aspect, which is true, but not the other. You know? Does that make sense? Means they take the thought that I'm the authority, but I don't have to listen to anybody. No, I'm the authority and I have to listen to people. And I have the authority to explain, but I'm not the decision maker. Right? You have to have both these. So when you have that combination of Brahmins who understand the limit to their advice and Kshatriyas who understand the limit of their administration, and they have equal nature, then bingo, that you have, that works. So therefore, it's very personal. It's not just a generic, the principle is generic, but its application is always personal. So that means you choose those and get, there might be someone who's better, but they can't give the advice in the right way. So therefore, you pick those who can. Because practical means the practical application is what you want to get. Right? Because the Vedic concept is you're starting with authority, then you make it practical. Right? The modern is you start with the practical, and then if the theory supports it, great. But the Vedic is you have to start with the theory and then make that theory practical. So it has to work for the individual in the situation. So?
Yeah. Can you elaborate a little more on this point, how the Vedic starts with the theory and then the practice?
Yes.
And I'm asking especially because in education, in ISKCON, often we see these two approaches. We
right.
take something from somebody, a management guru or something.
Right, right, right.
And then we attach some shloka or something that looks like it's
right.
the same
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, no, it should go the other way around.
So how to do that?
Practically, okay. The first thing is, if you want to be successful in education, if you want to be successful in anything, but since the question is on education, we'll use that as an example. You have to be able to distinguish between what's primary and what's secondary. It's probably one of the greatest intellectual lackings in the world, that ability. It means that if you even discuss the point, people look at you like, you know, I just, you know, in England gave a class in Swahili or something like that, or, you know, like that, or you know, in China, I was speaking in, you know, how you say, pidgin English, or in, it's just like insane. Just the concept. Prabhupada talks about the primary and the second, means the principle, the detail. The whole point is any activity, if it's not connected with bhakti, which is the principle, it's useless. So now, since I'm going to apply bhakti, I have to express it. So I have to use technique to express it. So that's going to use the various forms and activities that have the ability to express it. Right? Like I want to, let's say, hammer a nail into the wall. So the concept is I'm going to hang something on the wall. Right? I need a hammer and nail to do that. I don't go into the kitchen and start cooking breakfast. Even though if I want to cook, then the using the pots and pans do very nice. They express that, but they don't express construction. Right? Not at least in that form. Does that make sense? So the ability to tell what is the principle you're working with. Just like, let's say, in business, the whole point is to make profit. That's the principle. You can do whatever technique you want, quote, from anywhere, stand in your head, you know, do a dance on your table. It doesn't matter. If it doesn't make money, it's not worthwhile. Right? If it doesn't make profit, it was a waste of time. So in the same way, if administration doesn't generate a peaceful, secure environment for those underneath the administrator, it's a waste of time. And if knowledge doesn't give you an understanding of who you are, who God is, and what the material world is, it's a waste of time. Right? So, therefore, you start with the Shastra. And the Shastra makes a point, a principle. Then we have to be able to see, okay, now how did the great personalities apply that? That's going to be your Smriti Shastra. Then from that, how did the Acharyas, the third step is, how did the Acharyas explain this point? And other senior personalities, right? Then the fourth stage is, now how do I personally apply that in my life? Right? So in other words, the management guru, okay, that's the next level up. That's the third level. The management guru is the third level. Right? And I'm the fourth level. I have to apply it. But the point is the first two are missing. Why does the point that the management guru make, why does it work? Because it's in line, if it does work, it's in line with a particular laws of nature that's given by Krishna. But the problem is because they're only seeing the secondary aspect, that management guru. It can only be applied according to the way he describes it in a particular area. Like if I have the particular situation that he talks about, I apply it, it works like a charm. But if it's not that particular situation, it doesn't work. So therefore, then they write more books to try to show you how to get your situation to look like theirs. As opposed to, this is the principle, and this is what you're trying to get. Sometimes they touch on it. It means they're getting a somewhat of an understanding. Otherwise, why are they generally always able to apply it? But in their discussions and their works, they're only talking secondary. They don't talk about the primary because it's just a feeling. That's just coming from their karma because they don't know the connection back to Shastra. So that's why the advantage is there in devotees is they know the Shastra. And so, but generally devotees have never studied from that angle. I remember back in the 90s, devotee was asking, discussing all these social elements and things in families and management. He says, where do you get all this knowledge? And I said, from Bhagavatam. And their answer was, no, it can't be from there. Bhagavatam's just philosophy. Because devotees, at best, look at it as philosophy. But they don't look at it that, no, these are practical applications. That's why the Purana is considered the superior literature. You know, for especially us, Kali Yuga, is because it shows the example of applying. It already shows these first three steps. Right? And then we take that and trying to catch it. In other words, if I just give the principle, we may not get it. That's the Upanishads. They just give the principle. And then you use your brain and apply it. Just like we see with the, what were they called? The sons of Daksha, those groups of the sons of Daksha. The first group, he just came and gave this analogy. And they took it, contemplated it, figured out what it meant, how to apply it in their life, and they walked off to the forest. So he spoke for 5 minutes. They contemplated it for some days, and then understood it and got the benefit. Right? But then the Puranic explains it and shows how people applied it. That's why it's the superior position. So when it comes to our life, the Bhagavatam is showing how to apply pure devotional service into our life. And because we want pure devotional service, but we may not be on pure devotional service, then we, these first six cantos show how people in mixed devotional service apply the concept of pure devotion within their material position, and were successful. So this is one of them. You respect guru, it works. You don't respect guru, it doesn't work. And here it's talking about the principle. Now yes, you respect Brihaspati, who's in a better position, then you're going to be stronger than someone who's respecting Sukracharya, who's not in this stronger position. Both great Brahmins, but their position that they're taking is not more ideal and less ideal. Right? But when the demigods stop respecting the guru, then they fall from grace. And the demons, then they rise up because they are respecting guru. So you can't say, well, only if the guru is perfect it'll work. No. Just as a practical example, you look back into the 80s, the early 80s, there was never a time in our movement that wasn't more prosperous. Why? Because the respect for guru was so strong. Right? But when that was broken, then there's been no prosperity hardly since. So now if you look, individual zones or areas where they have that respect for the Vaishnavas or the gurus, the senior devotees, then that zone prospers. And where they don't, it's not getting anywhere. It's simple. It's not even esoteric. Right? So that's the difficulty, is that when that is there, it works. So that's what it's pointing out. It's a principle. Now, of course, within that, you choose someone who is, for you, somebody you can respect, who can give instruction and direction according to what you can apply in your life. That's what you're looking for. Then you'll be successful. But this idea of just making everybody equal, it's never going to be get anywhere. Because if you look at it, who professes these things? Generally intellectuals. And how successful are they? You know what I'm saying? They're nice people. But I'm just saying, the ones that are very modernistic and don't respect anybody, they don't have anything. They're very middle class. We're middle class, are middle class, will be middle class. They're not going to move forward. And those who even externally respect the system, right? The person comes into, let's say, into the business or administrative position. They may not like anybody there. They may all think that they're ratbags, but they deal respectfully and do what they're supposed to do. They move up. It's direct science. But the problem is because of our independent nature, we don't want to accept it. That's why this thing of principle and detail is so ununderstandable, is because we don't want to understand it. Because then I have to actually, in my life, find out what is actually essential and then adjust it to that rather than whimsically do what I like. So the difference is that if you accept authority and work according to authority, or I act whimsically according to my own like. And the popular thing now is whimsical. So that's why you see is there's a lack of prosperity. Right? We talk community, we talk money, we talk this, that, it's not there. Why? Because there's whimsy. Because you talk to anybody who is successful in the world, and you have to kind of take a bit of a conservative angle, because you have to follow rules. You have to adjust your lifestyle with the rules. It means, like, if I want to be successful in business, I have to adjust my life with the rules of business. I can't deal with it whimsically. Administration, I have to adjust my life with it. Right? But the modern thing is, no, I just add it. It's flavors. You know, it's flavors. I add in a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of this, and I quote from, oh, the Egyptians said this, or in Mongolia they have this saying, and, you know, it's very pleasant and eclectic. But the difficulty is that if there's no acceptance of authority, it won't get you off that just pleasant conversations. So that's the whole thing. The Mongolians, they took that point, applied it according to authority, and they had an empire that stretched from, you know, the Pacific Ocean all the way over to the Black Sea. because he actually applied it. The Egyptians were powerful because they applied it. So those who applied it with authority, they're successful. But if we just add it as a sprinkling to our own life, it makes life interesting, great conversation, you know, more intellectual, but as far as actually being successful, that's a whole different topic. Does that make sense? And the difference is primary, secondary. Is that okay? Yeah?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, yeah, over here. Can someone take the mic that side? In the back here, in the very back.
Maharaj, to be honest with you, this part of the Bhagavatam really confuses me.
This one, yeah.
Because I can't see being any more disrespectful to your guru than cutting off his three heads.
That's there. We're not talking about that. Then what happened to Indra? Then so he went down again.
Yeah, but still, Indra was successful. He kept a hold of his kingdom and like that.
No, but he went. He had to hide in the lotus stem.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? In other words, when he's respectful, things go nice. When he's disrespectful, it goes bad.
Yeah.
That's what's to learn. So in other words, he was disrespectful. The demons came. They took over everything. They become respectful again. They worship Vishwarup. Everything starts to pick up again. He kills Vishwarup. Then it goes down again. So in other words, one has to be consistent in the respect. And if that's there, then the result is consistent. Like that. So that's the point.
Another thing I wanted to ask is that sometimes I read this section of the Bhagavatam and it seems to encourage guru hopping.
Guru hopping?
Yeah, you know, in other words, you blow away one guru, you blow away Brihaspati, then you go to Lord Brahma and he says, okay, pick up this other guru, he'll help you here.
Because it's on the material platform, that's basically what you're doing. Right? Let's say, like I said, you want to learn music, you learn from somebody who's there. You don't get from them anything else. Then let's say you want to learn driving, you learn that from that person, or cooking from that person.
Yeah, when I read this section of the Bhagavatam, there's a certain exclusivity. You know, he's my Lord birth after birth, you know, like this.
No, but that's just the point is that branch of knowledge is coming from Krishna. So that respect for it, since that knowledge is eternal, therefore that respect is eternal, though the position of actual interaction may not be. But you're basically respecting them as the representative of the Lord in this knowledge. So therefore it's you can use those terms. Does that make sense? Like that. So it's there. But these things are temporary. It's not recommended that for on the spiritual side that there's hopping, right? Diksha Guru, it's a fixed thing. Siksha, then that will be broadened to a wide range. And so whoever is available in the situation, then you're taking advice from there. You know, someone comes through while they're there, you listen, you try to apply that, but then they go. Then the next person comes, you listen. Like that. Or you're in this temple, so you listen to these devotees. After a few years, you're in another temple, you listen to those. So that's siksha. So that can work that way. So all these other things are siksha. So only it's fixed in diksha because of that connection with the Lord on the spiritual platform. The other ones, you're connecting with the Lord, but on the material platform. Right? You're learning cooking. The science of cooking is a material science that you're learning and connecting to the Lord.
So is Brihaspati the demigod's Siksha Guru, or is there Diksha Guru?
He's specifically Siksha Guru.
Siksha Guru.
The Vedic works off of Siksha Gurus. Pancharatrik has Diksha, like that. But the Vedic doesn't have Diksha as such.
So that those statements, like he is my Lord birth after birth, applies to Diksha Guru, but not to Siksha Guru.
No, it would also apply to Siksha, but the point is it's not that. There's necessarily, I mean, it's just like this. Let's say you're applying it for, he's doing the yajna for the specific desire, right? Because you have those things that are eternal, those that are occasional, and those that are for a particular desire, right? So the eternal meaning that it's connected to the Lord in your relationship, that's the one that's going to continue birth after birth. The other ones is even though the knowledge will continue birth after birth, the particular relationship with that person won't. I'm saying you have a Diksha Guru in this life, in the spiritual world you have the same person. But you, let's say you learned, say, management from somebody, it's not that they're going to be your management guru next life, right? They might, but there's no necessity that they will be. Does that make sense? So it's there, in other words, there's the cultural aspect and then there's the eternal aspect, and you just have to see which ones apply where. So it has some subtleties, but the basic principle is knowledge is Krishna, so we're respecting Krishna on that, and it's coming through this person, so I offer that respect to Krishna through this person, though my relationship with this person may not be eternal in that way. Does that make sense? So that's how you can, as a devotee, balance it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm just amazed that Indra's still standing after cutting off the heads of Vishwarupa.
Because it's his position. It also shows that when somebody has a position that they do have the qualification for, then it's a matter of if they have the wrong mentality, you just have to get the mentality back. It's not a matter of removing them from, they've proven that you can't do it. No. Because otherwise, then that you end up with, after time, where the manager's going to be. You're going to get rid of everybody. You know, it's like every, I don't know what it is, 6 months, 9 months or something, they're throwing out a prime minister in Japan or something because they caught him off with some girl or something. You know, after a while, there's going to be no one left, right?
Okay.
You know, so the point is the prime minister, is he a good prime minister? If he is, he does his duties nice, then the problem is he has to stay away from these girls. Now, if he can do that, then he continues in the position. If he doesn't, he'd rather go live with those girls, then, hey, we'll get a new prime minister. But it's not that because he was, therefore we have to get rid of him. Right? Does that make sense? That would be intelligent because there is a skill there that not everybody has.
Okay, so he only cut off the heads of his gurus once, so we'll let it pass?
Here, because it's, yes. But the point is he's gotten this reaction.
So do we get one chance to cut off the head of our guru?
I wouldn't do a Jayatirtha in this one, but is here is because he's supporting the demons, and he's supposed to be doing this for the demigods. So the demigods are doing it, but he's offering oblations to the demons, so he's making them powerful at the same time. But Brahma warned him of that. If you can tolerate this, then you hire him. So he hired him and then couldn't tolerate, so therefore he got the reaction, because killing a Brahmin, no matter what, is not good. He got the reaction, but now once he's freed from that reaction, then he can do that duty again, as long as he's got some time left. He's only got his 100 years, so if his time's up, then he's out. Right. Okay.
I just wanted to mention these things, because it is kind of confusing.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah. No, that's why then the stories are there, the explanations, that's what we mean, is the Shastra's there, then the Acharyas explain them. And then we have to try to apply, how does that apply into my situation? Like that. Yeah. I guess last, you had something? It has to be quick, we only have a couple of minutes.
It's a very quick question. Thank you, Maharaj. So you said like in the 80s that there was
the
more... You said that in the 80s we had like more, we was more prosperous as ISKCON, and we had more respect for the gurus. So my question is, because you know some gurus, you know, me personally, it takes me some time to you know, I respect like the position of a sannyasi, you know, but to respect somebody as a bona fide guru takes me some time, because also Srila Prabhupada said the ISKCON is meant to create individual thoughtful men. So some gurus they left ISKCON, some they was not, they...
That's another thing. But if the point is while they're functioning in ISKCON and you offer that respect, you prosper. It's not saying they'll prosper, you'll prosper.
Okay.
So even if the guru isn't ideal, still you're following the process, you get the benefit.
Right.
They're not following the process, they don't get the benefit. You understand?
Yeah, I understand. Just my point.
So what I'm saying is, when the general mass of devotees has a skeptical look towards senior devotees,
yes,
it affects them. It doesn't affect the senior devotees.
Right.
So that's the thing. There's a skepticism about authority, and if there's authority is broken at the top, it's broken all the way down. Because the person thinks, I will just have about this position, but then also then any ISKCON authority, parents, sannyasis, teachers, you know, managers, nobody's respected. You understand? So then how prosperous can it be? The position has to be respected. You may not like the person, but you have to respect the position.
Right. I completely agree. Thank you very much. And the only thing, when I came first to ISKCON, I was warned by many devotees, watch out, you know, not all gurus are pure devotees, you know, don't...
Point is you look for what is the best you can do, right. Because our system being what it is, it's designed for Kali Yuga. You have a founder Acharya, the teachings of the founder Acharya are there, and you find people that can explain that knowledge to you nicer that you can use it. You'll be successful. It doesn't matter what level of devoted they are, as long as they can do that for you. And you look for someone who is the highest level of that, because they'll give better explanations.
Yes.
But this idea, unless they're the, you know, pure unalloyed nitya siddha, dropped out of the spiritual sky kind of thing, that means you don't know what a founder acharya is. The founder acharya is so powerful, his instructions work, even if explained by someone else. Because there's a good guarantee that there's very few people in our movement that were made devotees by Srila Prabhupada himself. There's a good chance that most of the devotees were possibly made devotees by uninitiated devotees themselves. And that being the case, why is that? Because the potency of the instruction of the spirit of the founder Acharya is so powerful, it works. You just have to deliver it. That's what Prabhupada gives the example of the mailman. He doesn't put anything in the package, he doesn't take anything out, he gives it as it is. So if you can be a good male, you look for a guru or senior Vaishnavas who are good mailmen. They can give you what Srila Prabhupada gives. That will be successful. All this stuff, well, they have to be this, they have to be that. If you want to say that, then yes, what is the qualification of the disciple also? And there's a good chance that most of us, if we read the list of what, there's like 20, 30 qualifications to be a disciple. And, I mean, probably most devotees would find it hard that they match that. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is that's not the, we're looking at who can deliver the instruction. That's the primary aspect. Now, who amongst those who can deliver it can follow it the best themselves and apply it in their life the best themselves and give it the best example, I should choose them. But the main point is I'm looking for someone who can deliver that instruction. You understand?
I understand, thank you.
Okay, so we'll end here. Chako. Grantarak Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainata Gaurupremanti.